Today's daf in Masechet Arachin is daf Chof Dalet, and we're holding right at the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Beit, and we are going to bring this to you, Mibin Chomot Yerushalayim. Now, we just finished the Mishnah, and in the Mishnah, we learned that when we go out to collect from someone, they went bankrupt. So we're trying to figure out what we get from them. We do not take from them everything. We leave them enough food for 30 days, enough clothing for a whole year, and we leave them their bedding and their shoes and their tefillin for them, not for their wives and children. Now, where do we get that from? I mean, the bottom line is, certainly for anybody else, not for him. Such a guy owes money, he owes money. We don't sit there and say, well, you can't take away the shoes. I mean, out it goes. So my time up, where do we get it from that we don't go all the way? The Omar Krob, because the Pasuk said, a beautiful drasha. The imach hu mi erkecha. Imach hu, instead of saying the imach mi erkecha, it adds this word hu. And that tells us an amazing thing. It tells us you have to see that he remains himself. Out of the earth, out of the money that he would have owed. And these things are part of what it takes for him to be kayam. Avolo li ishto levana, but not for his wife and kids. My taima, it only says hu mi erkecha. It doesn't say ishto uvanav mi erkecha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer im haya ikar noten lo tzimado. If he's a farmer, we also leave him his tractor, and so on and so forth. If he's a rent-a-car agency, we leave him the car. So why did the Rabbanan argue on that? I mean, don't the Rabbanan see that as being the equivalent of if he's a carpenter, leave him his hammer, his saw, and so on? No. The Rabbanan say, han hu lav kli omanut. There's a big difference between tools that you use for craftsmanship and things that you use to make money. They're not the same at all. The who has to do with his own self-expression as a craftsman. The business that he invests in is just money. And that's not who. And therefore, we view those things as nechasim. A tractor is a nechas of the business, but it's not who. So he could find some other business or whatever, but it's not considered to be the equivalent of what he needs in order to be himself. If he's an artist, we'll leave him his art, his brick. If he's a woodworker, we'll leave him his woodwork. If he's a tailor, we'll leave him his tailor. That's omanut. But business is not omanut. It's considered to be his investment. Hayalo minecha. The Mishnah has this interesting case. A guy, it says that we leave him actually backup tools. So everything is redundant. Two hammers, two saws, two. But if he himself only has currently one saw, but he has, let's say, three planes, so the Mishnah says, well, don't say that you should sell one plane and use it to buy him another saw. So the Gemara says, obviously. I mean, if it was good enough until now, why in the world should we use money that otherwise would go to Hegdash to make it better? I mean, isn't that pshita? If it was good enough for him until now to have only one saw, so why can't it continue to be good enough? Ashtanami, Sagile. No. I'll tell you why not. Because I might well have thought that Madatema Adidin Adelu Shulay Avimoshle Light. Look, he had extra planes. If another guy needs a plane, he'll come and borrow it from him. But because of that, if he needs another saw, he can go borrow it from somebody else. But once a guy is reduced to nothing, nobody's going to give him anything, not even lend him anything. Because they all figure, what's in it for me? So hash to the lek and lamashale, nobody was going to lend him anything. So maybe low, and we should have to give him redundancy, because he's got nowhere to borrow it from. Come hashmalan. Hamagdish et nechasav malim lo tefillin. If, however, he just gives away all of his nechasim, if he wants his tefillin, he's going to have to buy him back. As opposed to this case, where imachu, where we're coming to collect from him. Now, there was a guy who sold all of his nechassim to someone, and the guy goes to court to collect all of the nechassim from him, and he walks in to Rabbi Amar's courtroom, and he's wearing tefillin. So Rabbi Amar said, take those tefillin off of this guy. Those aren't his tefillin. He sold those tefillin. So my kamashma, I mean, is this a chiddush? Isn't that the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, makish lechassim, everyone's his tefillin. He'll have to buy them back. Ma'alin lo tefillav. Says more no, because you see, over there, the guy talks it into himself, giving away all my money is a big mitzvah. So I'll give away my tefillin too. You know, it feels like a big tzaddik doing that. But a guy who sells his thing, I mean, maybe it's clear that a person does not intend to sell a mitzvah de gufe. V'inyan zivune, mitzvah de gufe, lozav v'inyan, this guy's not going to sell his own personal mitzvahs. It goes according to what he said. He said kol nechasav. That kol nechasav includes everything. You want to exclude something? Say so. It's dvarim shebelev. Imrichi, the halakha mishnah is yours, sir. Whether someone was magdish his property directly, as in the closing case of the previous Mishnah, or whether somebody was marich himself and now Bezdin is coming to collect from him, they cannot collect. Ein lo, lo meaning lehegdish. Hegdish does not have the right to take ksut ishto v'lo ksut badnav v'lo b'tseva shetzava lishman the things that he's bought for his wife and kids are not his anymore. And when he gives something to them, that already is not considered to be his. Not only that, if he bought his wife new shoes, even though he hasn't given them to her, they're in her, they're becheskata right away. If he dyed some material in order to make her a dress, and he hasn't made the dress yet, that's considered to be hers. And therefore, they're considered not to be part of the estimation of what he owes. Afapisha Amru, now, even though we do say that when it comes, let's say, to collecting money from Yatomim, so we always do the best that we can for the Yatom. So therefore, what we'll do is we will invest a little bit of money in order to make more money. Right? So let's say the Yatom owns an Eved. David's walking around in faded dungarees and so on. Let's invest $50, buy this Eved some really good-looking clothes. Now when he gets up there to be sold, people will be willing to pay $100 more. And that way, by a smaller investment, we'll make money. Heck, this Eved may be a model for Gucci. But he's got to be dressed properly. Or, let's say that a Yatom owns a Parah. Okay, so then we're not going to say that, well, you know, let's whatever the para makes locally, where we have three farmers in the entire area, 50 miles square, there's not going to be much of a market for his para. No, we say, take the para, or wait until the day when they have twice a year an auction or a fair, and then they'll make double for the para. So obviously we will do our best. But when it comes to Hegdesh defining what this guy owes, we don't do that. We go according, we learn this out of a puzzle. We go according to current value. Now this has tremendous value for this person. Because what he can do is, say Bezdin, the Kohen estimates, remember, the guy can afford to pay the full erech. What do you owe? So we figure what he owes. We look at his Eved, we say, okay, what will this Eved fetch as he is without any further investment? It'll only fetch $100. What will this para fetch here in this locale today? Maybe $100 less than it would have had we waited until the market. We take that into consideration. Say, okay, you owe $150 to Hegdesh, right? Now this guy can go to someone and say, "Do me a favor, lend me $150. That's what I owe Hegdesh." He goes and he sells this for $300 by waiting and so on. He gets to keep the rest. Because this is only in terms of Hegdesh, it's not in terms of him. So the Torah has limited the rights to Hegdesh's Ha'aracha to what is right there in this place and at that time. And so even though for a Yatom, obviously, this is the way we would have done it, and you would think, well, I mean, all along we've been saying, for Hegdesh, we'll do even more than for the Yatom, right? But no, this is a different issue. In terms of defining what the guy owes, we will indeed look at it in this way. Now, Tosfos considers this to be contradictory to the fact that when it comes to selling property, we'll wait even longer to define what you pull in. Lechora, he's asking that it would go to Hegdesh. But if Hegdesh only gets the fee of the day, why do we do that? So Tosfos wants to make a chiluk between real estate and chattel. Chattel, metal. So real estate, we will wait, and that's the norm for selling real estate. To go and to announce in a newspaper that we've got a Gucci watch for sale is almost ensuring that it'll be stolen. So what are we going to do that kind of thing? Okay. The Rush's approach is that there's basically two completely different issues here. There's an issue of defining what the guy owes. And then there's an issue of getting the money to pay it. What the guy owes, which we're talking about over here, what the guy owes is defined by what it will fetch today. What it is that we'll do in order to provide that Hekdesh gets its money and so on, it's a whole different issue, basically. So what we're talking about over here is once we define what he owes, as I explained before, as Rashi says, once I define what he owes based on the current value, this guy could borrow the money and pay what he owes. And now make more money. So don't confuse the two sugyas, basically. We're talking about two different phenomena here. Lechor, I mean, the Rush doesn't say it, Benogea, that particular issue. But, I mean, the Shita brings the Rush. And basically explains that you know, don't confuse defining what is owed by how to get out of the situation when it's owed. So therefore, let's continue in the Mishnah. So even though we would do that for a yotam, and we would invest so that avadim are nimkarim b'ksutan l'sheva, we will sell them all dressed up. So let's say, if you would invest 30 dinar in a nice suit for this guy, you would be able to make an extra mana by selling him. So he's a b'shubach mana. Or a para. If you wait until the day of the auction for the itlis, so then it's worth much more. B'shubachati. Or let's say you have a valuable stone or a pearl. So, I mean, who's going to pay for a valuable stone in the dwarf? What you got to do is you go to the diamond center, and over there you'll have a lot of buyers. So you could say, imalimota lekarach, if you bring it into the metropolitan center, mishubachati. Nonetheless, when it comes to Hekdesh, ein lehekdesh ela mekomo v'shaato. Hekdesh's of value is defined by that place. Place reference to the margalit, chateau in reference to the para, and therefore where we have, and this is how Rashi understands the entire discussion over here, is only talking about in defining what the guy owes, not in defining how to get money for Hekdesh. So you want to know how much can this guy afford? He can be according to what it is right now, and that's what he gives to Hekdesh, only the fee chateau and the fee the current situation. Tanarabon. Where do we get this from? It says in the Posek, V'natan et ha'erkecha b'yom ha'hu, Kodesh la'Hashem. What do you mean, b'yom ha'hu? That's the whole point. B'yom ha'hu is telling me, Shalo yishe margalit lekalim. Don't wait to make more money for Hekdesh. For a poor man who is an Adam Kal, doesn't own anything, so, well, I mean, we could get a lot more money. No, we don't do that. And he was Marich himself. We don't wait to say, well, let's see what we can get. We go according to what it's worth here. And this guy himself could sell it later and pay Hekdesh out of that money, and he'll still have money left over. And when it says the word Kodesh LaHashem, what does that teach us? Kodesh LaHashem teaches us that Stam Hekdeshot LeBerekabayit. Because Kodesh LaHashem means that, first of all, it goes entirely LaHashem. So had it gone to the Mizbeah, it wouldn't be entirely LaHashem. The Kohanim would be taking the Orot. If it would be like the Charmei Kohanim, it would be going entirely to the Kohanim. The point over here is that it goes entirely LaHashem, which must mean that it's made for the Beit HaMikdash maintenance or building. Adonalak Shema Yitomim. Now we are about to embark on an exciting journey into a secondary type of erechin. What are erechin as opposed to domim? It's a value that was assigned by the Torah that is completely in disregard of market values. Erechin refers to the value of a human being based on their age and on their sex alone. But there's a whole different sugya, very similar to erechin, which is called the sugya of stei achuza. Stei achuza is exactly the same thing. Irregardless of market value, a field is evaluated for purposes of someone who's magdish it when it's the field that he inherited as part of his Yerushat Eretz Yisrael, at a standard rate, no matter where it's located, no matter what value the field has in terms of the type of property, we couldn't care less. You pay 50 shekel per each kur of planting space for a kur of zera seorim. Where you can plant a kur of zera seorim, you pay 50 shekel over the Yovel period. Meaning, right after Yovel, you give a dedication of your field to Hekdash. If you want to buy that field back, you pay at the beginning of Yovel 50 shekel for each kur zera seorim. Now, if it's the second year, it's prorated, and that's called Girua Keset. So since it's 50 shekel, we're making the following assumption, that the Yovel period is from the first year after Yovel up until the next Yovel, which is 49 years. Because the 50th year is already Yovel, it's Yotze the Yovel. And it starts after Yovel. So that means you're paying 50 shekel per 49 years. Now that would mean that if you're going to look at it per year, you're going to be paying 1 plus 149th of a shekel for each year. Now, the 149th of a shekel is very close to the value of a coin called a punyan, where there are 48 in a shekel. So if you pay a sela and one punyan, at the end of the 49th period, you will have paid one punyan too many. Right? Because there's really only 48 in a shekel. You've got your 50 shekel plus one punyan. Nonetheless, we were mechayev you to pay a full punyan, which means that instead of a 49, you're paying a little bit more, a 48 of a shekel per unit. And the reason we do that is because, just as when it comes to the machzis a shekel, we charge you for breaking up a shekel. So we basically keep things easy. You pay a punyan, you say, well, I want my change. The change is the cost of changing the shekel.
Interest, and knasot, and so on, right? Charging fee, come in the bank, to leave the
okay,
bank.
Now, there's a couple of additional halachas that we have to know. One halacha is that if you don't buy back your field at the end of the 50 years, then the field goes out to Kohanim in Yovel, and you lose it. As we're going to see, there's a machlokas, whether the Kohanim have to pay Hekdash for the field when they take it, or whether it goes directly to Kohanim. And there's going to be important differences in how to understand the whole idea. Based on that question, that's one thing we're going to have to look at. The other thing that you have to know is that the Torah has used the word shanim ad hayovel, which means the only way that we do the girua, the prorating, is if there's a minimum of 2 years left. If there's less than 2 years left until Yovel, and you want to buy this field back, you're going to have to pay the full amount. There's no girua. It's no longer prorated. So the prorating is a special right that you have during the first 48, we'll see that actually Hekdash could force that to be 47, we'll see why, years of the Yovel. Another issue is, what about Yovel itself? Can you be magdish the field during the Yovel or only immediately after the Yovel? That we'll see is a machloket. So let's take a look into this Mishnah here, and we will see, in mekachin lifnei hayovel, pochot mishtei shanim, you cannot make a field kodesh less than 2 years before the Yovel. That's what it seems to be saying. Because the Torah says, al pi shanim anotarot. And shanim means 2 years. Now we will see that there's another explanation. Ein magdishin lifnei hayovel pochot mishtei shanim means, don't be an idiot to be magdish less than 2 years, because then you're going to have to pay the full 50 shekel to buy it back. It doesn't mean it's not kodesh. That's going to be a machloket in the Gemara. V'lo goalim achar hayovel, and furthermore, you cannot be goal immediately after yovel, unless there's been 1 year, pachot mishana achat. Now, what exactly that means, we'll have to take a look at the Gemara. It's also a question that is up for grabs. Ein mechashvim chodashim lahekdesh. Now, when it comes to defining how much time has passed, It's in units of years. Nothing less than a year. So in other words, you can't come to Hegdash and say, okay, there's only 20 years and 3 months left. So I want to pay 20 years. Let's make it 6 months to make it easy. So I want to pay my 20 sela, 20 punyanot, plus another half a sela and half a punyanot. Because 6 months have already passed. No. It's either the whole year has passed, or you pay for the whole year. But Hegdash, when it's for their benefit, can look at the months that's passed. Where would it be for their benefit? Very simple. Since you only have a right to buy back the Giruah Kesef, Lefi HaShanim HaNotarot, there need to be 2 full years left. You come 1 month into the 48th year, and you say, okay, I want to pay the remaining $2 I have, the two Slaim at Tupunyanot. Says Beit Din, what are you talking about, man? There's only 1 year left. What do you mean? It's only 1 month into the first year. I have the whole year. We've decided you've got less than 2 years because we want to be Mechashev the Chodashim. And it's only got a full 2 years that you'd be able to be Mechashev prorating it. We insist on you paying the whole 50 shekel per unit or bust. And we keep the field. So in other words, when it's for their benefit, Hekdesh could be Mechashev Chodashim. V'raminu asks the Gemara, it says Magdishin Ben Lifnei HaYovel Ben Liachar HaYovel U'Bishnat HaYovel Atzma Lo Yagdish Ve'im Higdish Eina Kedosha. So here it says that even up to the year of the Yovel itself, you can be Magdish. Our Mishnah says in Magdishin Pachot Bishtei Shanim. Which one is right? The Mishnah or the Braita? How could the Braita contradict the whole meaning of the Mishnah? And here is the key to the Machloket I mentioned, that Rav and Shmuel both agree that the meaning of Ein Magdish Lefnei HaYovel Pachot B'Shtei Shanim is not to tell me that it's not Kodesh, it's to tell me that Ein Magdishin Ligael B'Giruah Pachot B'Shtei Shanim. If there's not at least 2 years left to be Mekayim the Posek HaShanim HaNotarot, Lefi HaShanim HaNotarot, according to the plural number of minimum of 2 years that are left. Therefore, you will not be able to insist that you want to pay in a prorated fashion. You'll have to pay the entire 50 shekel. And therefore, what the Mishnah is saying is, since if you would go and make your Sadeh Kodesh now, you'd be a real idiot, because then you're going to end up having to pay an enormous amount of money. Torah's not interested in your being an idiot. In other words, you think the more you give to Hegdash, the better. You know, like we said before, well, I give away my tefillin, it's even a bigger mitzvah. You know, that's your own stupidity. The Mishnah is coming to tell me, Yehei Adam Chasan Lechasa, for heaven's sakes, take care of your money. V'ayakdish pachot b'shtei shanim. The Mishnah is saying it won't be Kodesh. The Mishnah is saying, don't do it. Ein makdish in dum dum. Don't do it, because otherwise you're going to get caught into paying a lot more than you have to. That's what it says. It's an Eitzah Tova. That's what the Mishnah. Ein Magdishin, the normal person, does not go out to be Magdishin. Doesn't mean Ein Kedusha Chala Pachot B'Shtei Shanim. Therefore, there's no contradiction between the Mishnah Ein Magdishin and the Braita that says Magdishin. The Braita that says Magdishin is saying it can be done. The Mishnah saying Ein Magdishin is saying it's stupid to do it. Itma. But now we run into a little bit of problem. Because it's mashma over here, pachot mishtei shanim. But what about the yovel itself? So itma, ha-magdish sader b'shnat ha-yovel atzma. What's the din if somebody is magdish his field during the yovel? So Rav says, well, it's kodesh. You want to buy it back, you're going to have to pay the full chamishim shekel. Whereas Shmuel says, no, it's not kodesh at all. Eina kedosha kol ikar. Now, we're going to see later on that we have a similar machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, when it comes to the sale of a steachuza. The sale of a steachuza has one similarity to this din of Magdish steachuza, and that is that since at the end of the 50 year, the 49 years, you're going to have Yovel, and in Yovel it's going to go back to you, the seller, because a steachuza you can never sell. So, blitz me too. You can only sell it on a 49-year lease, essentially. That's what the whole concept of a 49-year lease comes from. From Yovel. So for 49 years, you're essentially leasing out your soda. The Goyim took that concept and turned it into the standard 49-year lease that you're...
It's a business practice in general?
Yeah, the 49-year lease is generally the way you take property, public property.
Here in Israel, you know,
yeah,
your house.
It's the same idea.
Years,
yeah. So that's for two Yovelot, which is, you know, they do what they want. But so that idea is similar in the sense that you have a right to buy it back, and the guy has to prorate according to the value that it was sold at. So we look at it as a lease, not as his really owning it, and then him is able to say, well, you know, I don't want to sell. It's a lease. So now, the question is, how about if you would sell a field during Yovel? So over there we have the same machlokas. Rav says it's a kosher sale, and the field goes back to the seller. So he just made a heck of a lot of money, right? Shmuel says, no, it's not a sale at all. Now over there, the logic in Shmuel is very obvious, because it's a kal vachomer. If Lemaisa, you sold a field years before it'll go out in Yovel, so kosher cane, there's no way to transfer a field in Yovel. It's very similar to the idea of trying to sell a daughter with simani. If she was sold already, she's going to be yotzei with simani. So how could you sell her? Basically the same kal vachomer. If it's Yovel and had been sold before, it would have been yotzei. So how could you sell it during Yovel? That's Shmuel's time. Okay. So now the Gemara wants to point out matkifla Rav Yosef. Rav is saying it's Kodesh, you pay the whole amount. Shmuel is saying it's not Kodesh at all. So Rav Yosef says, I don't understand. I mean, when it came to this exact machloket in the later Gemara about Mechira, where we also have Shmuel arguing on Rav, I mean, yeah, over there it makes a heck of a lot of sense. Because Shmuel Shita is, look, it's a kal vachomer. If Mechura kvar yotzah akshav, something that had been sold before, is going to go out for free during Yovel. So then, if it wasn't Mechura, obviously you can't sell it. Ain't a din shaloti macher? Okay. That makes sense. But you cannot apply that logic to the din of Magdish Steyachuza. Because here, how can you say a kal vachomer? It doesn't go out in Yovel. Mi'ikal amemer kal vachomer. V'hatnan higia Yovel v'lo nigala. If Yovel comes, and there was no geula, in other words, the owner did not buy back, the kohanim, they take it over, and they have to pay hegdish for whatever the field was worth. We don't think them here to hegdish. So that means that actually, the field will never leave the rishus of hegdish, because hegdish is going to be paid for this field by the kohanim that take it. So why does Shmuel say that, well, it can't become Kodesh? Why can't it become Kodesh? Why not? There's no kal vachomer. It isn't yotzei miyovel. Ah, that's because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds the Omar, nichnasim velo notnim, that actually the Beis HaMikdash does not hold on to this field. The Beis HaMikdash also loses the field, except it doesn't go back to the owner. It goes back to, it goes out to the Kohanim. But therefore, it's the same kal vachomer. If in Yovel the field leaves the Rishus of Hegdish, so Kosher Kane, you can't give it into the Rishus of Hegdish, Mishnat Yovel. So therefore, Shmuel has a different understanding of the disposition of the field at the end of the Yovel.
The Kohanim remained in the field from Yovel, from the Hegdish. There's no Yovel on that. It's forever and ever.
It's forever and ever. And Rav, why does he argue, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Rav says, I don't care if you hold the Rabbi Shimon. Because the bottom line is, the owner doesn't get it back. So what are you telling me? It goes out to the Kohanim. Why did the Kohanim?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because the Kohanim are basically acting as the ones of Hegdish that are using it. Like everything else that they get from Hegdish is Mishulchan Gavoa Kazaku. So it doesn't go out of Hegdish. That is not... It goes out of Hegdish. It doesn't go out of Hegdish. It's just that it's the Kohanim use
it. It all stays but, in the family.
And it's all, exactly. Yeah. It's all in the family.
And produce.
What?
And produce. Things gained from that property.
If the Kohanim are being given by the graciousness of the great Lord above, to use his property.
As they see fit.
As they see fit.
Without any hektish connection.
That's correct.
Interesting.
So that's Kohanim and Shulchan Gavar Kazachok. It's no different than giving the Kohanim the Chos of a Shok. Give the Kohanim the Chos of a Shok, go bring it home and give it to the kids.
That's like, yeah. Well, okay, right. Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, so it's Mishulchan Gavar
Kazachok.
No. Okay, fascinating. That's a beautiful question. Our president is mamish on the ball. That's what happens when you learn shots too many times. You become president. But you know what? Presidents have to learn to let the bureaucrats talk for them. Otherwise, everybody else gets stumped. That's a very good point. I don't know the answer. Yeah, very interesting. Okay, so Mishulchan Gavoha Kazoch. Fine. Now, it's not really, you know, such a, but it's fascinating. The other things that are given to the Kohanim, given the Trumas, given the Maison, from it.
Is there
produce?
Is it food?
No, it's completely cool. I hear the question. It's a beautiful question. Anyway. Now, what is Rav's Svara? Tosfos says, what do you mean, what is Rav's Svara? You just said he doesn't have the Kal V'Chomer. So if he doesn't have the Kal V'Chomer, that if it was Mechura Kvar, or in this case, Mukdash Kvar, is yours to be able, Koshken, you can't sell it now. So why are we asking what his Svara is? So Tosfos explains, because, look, the bottom line is, it never says anywhere in the Torah that it's possible to be Magdash in Yovel. It says from after the Yovel. So it's all very nice to say we don't have a Kal V'Chomer to tell me that you can't be Magdash in Yovel. But, I mean, you can't create a din. This whole din is because there's a katuv, that there's a given value when you can be paid, etc., etc. Where does Rav see that that's included in the din of Steyachuza? Oh, because it says Ve'im Mishnat HaYovel. Mishnat HaYovel includes the Shnat HaYovel. Remember, by the way, that this has everything to do, as we're going to see, with the Gemara we had a little earlier about Miyom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i. Is it Ad Bichlal? Does Miyom HaRishon include the first year or not? So Rav is saying Mishnat HaYovel means from the beginning of the Shnat HaYovel, including the Shnat HaYovel. In which case, if I don't have a Kal V'Chomer, then during the Shnat HaYovel, it's certainly going to be Kodesh, and you're going to pay the full 50 shkalim if you want to buy a bet. And Shmuel says, now wait a minute, it doesn't say Bishnat HaYovel. It says Mishnat HaYovel. So Mikti Ve'im Bishnat HaYovel, Mishnat HaYovel. That means the next year, after the Yovel, Mishana She'achar Yovel. So now, Bishlom al-Rav, the way Rav is understanding Mishnat HaYovel to include the Shnat HaYovel, so then it makes perfectly good sense the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, Ve'im achar hayovel, but if after the yovel it should be magdish, so then prorate. Api ha-shanim alotarot, right? But and the way Shmuel is learning, the word in the first pasuk, im mishnat hayovel, was the year after yovel. So why does the next pasuk say, Ve'im achar hayovel? Now, how does he explain that? El Shmuel, my achar hayovel. So Shmuel, no, that means achar, achar. Meaning, in other words, if it's after, the year after Yovel, so if it's the first year of Yovel, you pay 50 shekel. If it's the year after that year of after Yovel, so then you pay only 48 shekel and a punyan. That's the point for each year. So then, it means achar, achar. The problem is, let's take a look now at the lashon that we just had, Meitzvah. Magdishim bein lifnei hayovel, bein le'achar hayovel, u'bishnat hayovel atzma lo yagdish, ve'im yigdish eina kedosha. Uh-oh. It says beferish over here. If you went ahead and were makdish esodah in the shnat hayovel, it would not be kodesh. How's Rav going to explain that? What do you mean it would not be kodesh? He just learned from the pasuk, mi shnat hayovel includes the shnat hayovel, which means you can be makdish a field in the shnat hayovel. Rav, for heaven's sakes, what do you think it's talking about over there? It means Eina Kedosha to be included in this din of Gerula Kesev. That's the point. Meaning that Bishnat HaYovel Lo Yakdish, to think you could prorate anything, it'll only be prorated after that year. That's all that it's saying. So Eina Kedosha be Gerula. But it's Kedosha. Hey, you want to get it back, you'll have to pay the full 50 shekel. Excuse me, but then what are you saying? You're implying that only because it's in the Shnat HaYovel, you'll have to pay the full 50 shekel, even though there's only one day left. But If it was the year before the Shnat HaYovel, then you could pay one shekel and one punya. But that isn't true. We said that you need to have a minimum of 2 years. So what are you telling me, the Shnat HaYovel? You should say the last 3 years. Something's wrong over here. So in other words, Michlal, so what does Rav say? That Lifnei HaYovel, it's Kedesh, to be Yoel Begiruah. You yourself just said that the explanation of Rav and Shmuel, of the Mishnah, that said, Ein Magdishim Pachot Bishtei Shanim, does not mean that it's not Kodesh. It means if you're Magdishit, you will not be able to be Goyal Begiruah unless there's 2 full years left. So how the heck are you telling me that now? Well, only if it's Pashtat HaYovel Atzma, but otherwise, you would be able to have Giruah Kesef. Amalek HaRav, now wait, just hold on one moment. You remember that there's a machloket about whether miyom harishon ad yom hashvi'i v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha'i v'yachilas chometz. You remember that there's a machloket, the Rabbanan and Rebbe, whether miyom harishon ad yom hashvi'i means including the first day and including the last day, or whether it means after the first day up till the last day. Remember? Of course, we would have a pasuk that tells us the actual dates to avoid that connotation. But there was a machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbanan, okay? This, excuse me, is going a little bit Rabbanan. I am going to Rebbe. Rebbe says, Rishon v'Rishon Bichlal, Shvi and Shvi Bichlal, Hochinami, Mishnat, it should say, Vishnat Yovel Bichlal, and it's all very simple. Look, if it says Magdishin, where I said, Magdishin means, as we said, me and Shmuel, we said it's Kodesh, but you're going to have to pay Chamishim. Bishnat HaYovel, it's not Kodesh at all. I agree. It means it's not Kodesh at all. I take it back. But it's not Kodesh at all because that's going Aliva, the Mandi Omar, namely the Rabbanan, who say that it never said in the Torah you can be Magdish Bishnat HaYovel. It only said Mishnat HaYovel. Okay. I accept that it's a question. But it's not a problem because I wasn't going Aliva the Rabbanan. I made a mistake, all right? It isn't the business of Giruah. Fine. It means what it says. You cannot be Magdish B'Yovel. So you're saying, but you said you could. Of course I said you could. I was going according to Rebbe. Rebbe said the meaning of the words Mishnat Yovel includes the Yovel. And when it says over here, you cannot be Magdish, it's going a little bit of Rabbanan, who say, Mi Yom HaRishon does not include Yom HaRishon. What are you asking on me? Uh-huh. That's very interesting. So just hold on a second. If it's going like Rebbe, so then, wow, then you got 50 years. If you got 50 years, where did we get this whole idea of a punyan from? You pay 50 shekel for 50 years, not 50 shekel for 49 years. According to this, if a guy went ahead, was Magdish Mishnah Dayovel, so then it's included. So then if it's included, then you should pay exactly one sella. Where the heck did Rebbe come up with the idea of a salah of a punyan? That was only because you were prorating 50 shekel over 49 years. See, Ika Rebbe, punyan, my avidite, where the heck did the punyan come from? Vechite, maybe you'll say, well, maybe anachinami. Maybe this whole business of a punyan is only true according to Rabbanan. But Rebbe does not hold of it. V'yotanan. 2 or 3 years before the Yovel, says Rebbe, I say, you pay Selava Punyan. No, it's like, come on. I mean, he's saying Selava Punyan. Okay, I'll tell you where the Punyan comes from. How many years are there in a Yovel cycle? I'll bet you thought there's 50 years in the Yovel, right? That's your mistake. The Yovel, it's true, it's the 50th year. But it also counts as the first year of the next Yovel. So there's really only 49 years because that Shemitah doesn't have 6 years till Shemitah after Yovel. It's got 5 years after Yovel.
It's your 50 and year one.
It's both year 50 and year one, which means in an entire cycle, there's only 49 years. So according to Rebbe, and that's the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda that we've discussed. So according to Rebbe, we'll have to say, it's going to Rebbe Yehuda's sphere like, the Yom HaShnat Chamishim, Ola Lakan Alakan. The 50th year counts as the end of the previous Yovel and as the beginning of the next Yovel. Wow. That's amazing. So now, if that's true, so then, how would Shmuel explain Rebbe? Because where indeed, if there's really 49 years, so then Rebbe couldn't hold of the Rabbanan. Because if Rebbe held of the Rabbanan, if Rebbe held of Rebbe Yehuda, then there would only be the 48 years. So then, according to him, remember, Shmuel holds that it's a kal v'chor, right? And that Shnata Yovel is not kodesh. If there's only 49 years, then that means there's only 48 years. Because according to him, we can't include Yovel. So if there's 48 years, and you're going to prorate 50 shekel over 48 years, there needs to be two pundyonot a year to make up for the missing selah. And Rebbe only talked about one pundyon a year, like everybody else. Which means that Rebbe cannot possibly hold like Rebbe Yehuda, because then where's the extra punyon? Uh-oh. So are you going to say, I'll leave it at Shmuel, Rebbe would have to hold that there's 50 years in a Yovel, and it doesn't include the Yovel, as Shmuel himself said. Because if I'll leave it at Shmuel, Rebbe held of Rebbe Yehuda, then you would need to pay a selah plus two punyonot in order to make up for the missing 2 years over the course of the fifth to be boiled. Yep, 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 says the Gemara. You're right. Al karchacha, you have no choice but to accept the fact that according to Shmuel, Rebbe indeed has no other option. He's got to hold that there's 50 years in a full Yovel cycle. Okay, let's take a look at this. Tashma. V'lo goalim achar ha-yovel b'chot mishtei shanim. Now, let's understand what those words meant. You cannot be goel less than 2 years after Yovel. So, what would that mean? Less than a year, rather, after Yovel. So, according to Shmuel, what that means is that you cannot be goel less than a year. In other words, that's good for what it's coming to tell me. That according to Shmuel, if you don't have at least the next year after Yovel, then during Yovel, you don't have to be goel because it wasn't Kodesh anyway. That's what he would be saying. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. You can't be goel if it isn't the year after Yovel. I mean, you don't need to be goel if it isn't the year after Yovel. But according to Rav, when it says ein goalim, unless it's a shana after Yovel, what is that supposed to mean? I thought he includes Yovel. So the first year is already taking off money, according to Rav, right? Because you were Mekadosh during Yovel. So El Rav, what is the meaning of the word? Acher Yovel Shana. No, friend, you misunderstand. It doesn't mean literally after the Yovel. It means after the beginning of Yovel. Mi Savet Acher Yovel Mamash in the next year. According to Rav, remember the word Mishnat Yovel includes from the beginning of the Yovel year. So what it's saying is that unless it's Be'emta Yovel, meaning that as long as there isn't a full year after the Yovel, you're not going to have Geruah Kesef. Why? Because months don't count. That's good for what it's saying. So it means Be'emta HaYovel, the Kokamet Olomaya LeShana, if it isn't a full year after Yovel, that's what it means, not the year of the Yovel. So in other words, let's say we're talking about 30 years later, okay? Now it's the middle of the Yovel. You don't look at anything less than a year, meaning it's either a year or it's still the previous year. You say, I got 20 years and 1 month. No, you got 21 years left. That's what it's saying. Nothing to do with the year of the Yovel, for heaven's sakes. I don't understand. So then this is just another way of saying that you're not Mechashev Chodashim, right? But it says in the Mishnah Beferosh, you're not Mechashev Chodashim. So why would we throw in this weird statement that is so confusing? Well, you got to at least have a year. It sounds like it means after the Yovel. And now I have to explain it means the middle of the Yovel. I don't get it. So my kamash one, the ein mechashvim chodashim in ha'edesh. It says that in the Mishnah. Haber yekatani. The Mishnah says, ein mechashvim chodashim in ha'edesh. So what is this stuff? No. That's an explanation. The Mishnah begins with a shorthand. You don't count less than a year after the Yovel, meaning any time in the middle of the Yovel. That's what it's saying. So, ma tam goalim l'achar Yovel, why do we have to have at least a year? Because, in mechashim, kadoshim ha'agdash, it's all one thing. So this is indeed the brief statement, and then comes the explanation for it. And how do we indeed know that? Ein bechashvim chodeshim im hegdash. Tana Ravana minayin shein bechashvim chodeshim hegdash. Talmud lomar. Vechishav lo hakohen et hakesef al pi hashanim hanotarot. Shanim ata mechashev. It goes according to the number of years, but not according to the number of pieces of years, fractions of years, which we call months. I ata mechashev chodeshim. But how do you know that if the Kohen wants to count the months for the benefit of Hekdesh when he is doing the assessment, how do we know that he can? Minayin shima tarot seh, la'azot chadashim l'shana, as the Kohen representing Hekdesh, oseh, the gizbar. Hechi dami, and where would it be in the benefit of Hekdesh? Very simple. Suppose somebody is magdish a field in the middle of the 48th year. See, if we cannot count months, the guy says, well, there's still 2 years left. Because it's the 48th year and the 49th year. Therefore, there are shanim no tarot. And it says in the pasuk, it only goes according to the years. Don't tell me there's only 6 months left. That's the same as having a whole year. I'm only going to pay you one shtela and pundyon per year. Says the Kohen, well, we have decided to count the 3 months that have passed of the first year as making it less than 2 full years. And the Torah says you need 2 full years. Sorry, buddy. Either you pay the full 50, or we keep the field. So there, how do we know you can do that? Talmud lomar v'chi shav lo ha-kohen. The Kohen can do whatever the heck he wants. Mikol makom, however he wants it, he can do it. My timer. The Omer Akra, v'imachu me'arkecha, ha-chayehu me'arkecha. Avo lo lishtol v'nav, my timer, hu me'arkecha, v'lo ishtol v'nav me'arkecha. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Imaya Ikar Notenot Smado, and what about according to Rabbanan? Now, these are not called clay omanut. These are called investments. Nechatsim ninu. Hayalo minechad extra. Well, obviously, Giech, the Sagale Ada Hashtar, why wouldn't it be good enough for now on? Hashtanami Sagale? No. Ma'ada Tema Ada Idna, since he had extra planes, Avile Lashule, so people would lend him an extra saw. But hashta the lack of the moshele lo kavash moman hamagdisha nichasav malin not tefillin ahu gavra the zaninu nichseyatul came to Rav Yehimar and they said take his tefillin off my kavash mom matnitani hamagdish chasav malin not tefillin ma odedema hatamu the summer mitzvah kavita but when it's zvunei guys are going to be selling a mitzvah to gufei lo zavininish kavash malan kol nichasav is what he said, and kol nechasav is what he's got to deliver. Echad ha-magdish lechasav erechad ma'arich atzmo, ein lo b'ksut ishto, v'lo b'ksut banav, v'lo b'tzeva she'tzava lishman, v'lo b'sandalim chadashim shalakcha lishman, av ha'pi sh'omro avadim nimkarim b'ksutan l'sheva, shim tilakach lo ksut b'shloshim dinar, he becomes mishubach mona. And even though we say b'para, imam tinino tala yitliz, mishubachati, and also for a margalit, imalino talekrach mishubachati, but when it comes to hegdesh, it doesn't work like that. Ein lehegdesh, ela mikomo v'sha'ato. Tan rabbanu, midatan et ha'erkecha b'yom ahu, b'yom ahu min shelo yesheh margalit lekalim. Kodesh la'ashem means to tell me stam hegdeshot lebedek habayit. Hadron alok shum hayitom im. Ein magdishim lefnei ha-yovel pachot mishtei shanim. V'lo goalim achar ha-yovel begirua. In other words, pachot mishana achat. Ein mechashvim chodashim la-hekdesh. Aval ha-hekdesh mechashiv chodashim if it's to their benefit. V'raminu. Magdishim ben lefnei ha-yovel ben le-achar ha-yovel. V'shnat ha-yovel atzma lo yagdish. V'imigdishen ha-kedosh. So Rav Shmuel Damrit Avayu, it just means ein magdishim li-gael begirua. Pachot mishtei shanim. The kiman dei magdishim legel begirua pachot mishtei shanim. Therefore, a magdishin, don't do it because ye adam chas anechasav ve'agakdish pachot mishtei shanim to pay out like an idiot. Itma a magdish sadeo b'shrat ha'yovel atzma. The Rav amar kedosha menotim chamishim. Shmuel amar ena kedosha kolika. Matkid l'Rav Yosef. I mean, I understand when it comes to inyan mechira where we have the same machloket. And Polik Shmuel Eidorav. So over there, you could say Yikalamei Merkav Vachomer. Namely, Ma Bechura Kvar Yotza Achshav and Yovel She'ina Bechura Eino Din Shalotim Acher But over here, I don't understand. What were kal vachomer would there be? Vatnan, higia hayovel v'lo nigala, kohanim nechasim atocha, v'notnim dameo divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And so it isn't yotze from Hekdesh. They have to be paid. Ah, Shmuel Azak Rabbi Shimon. Namely, that the kohanim are nechnasim, but they don't pay any money, which means that it leaves the rishos of Hekdesh. V'rav Sava, let me ask you something, says Rav. Does it go back to the Baalim? No. It goes to the Kohanim. Why do you think it goes to the Kohanim? Because the Kohanim are Mishulchan Gavah Kazalchu. And my time of the Rav, where does he see the Torah include such a concept that we can start the Cheshbon in the previous Yovel? The Yomar Kra, the Imi Shnata Yovel, including Shnata Yovel. The Shmuel, Mi Ketiv, the Imi Shnata Yovel, Mishnat Ayovel means Shana Shach Ayovel. Now, Bishlam El Rav, that explains Mishnat Ayovel, and then the next pasuk starts in Achar Ayovel. But according to Shmuel, if Mishnat Ayovel itself means Achar Ayovel, why does the next pasuk begin with Achar Ayovel? No, it means if Achar, the year Achar Ayovel. Okay, so then Meitve. Magdishim ben lifnei ayovel ben leachar ayovel b'shnat ayovel atzma lo yagdish v'migdish ena kedosha. What is that supposed to mean according to Rav? I'm like, Rav, it means ena kedosha b'giruah, but it is kodesh. You just have to pay chamishim shekel. So what are you saying that lifnei ayovel it is kodesh lego b'giruah? I thought you yourself, Rav, said ein magdish lego b'giruah pachot b'shtei shanim. Forget about the year of the yovel. I'm like, Rav, sorry, take it back. What it means is it's not Kodesh at all. But that's going, I'll leave it to Rabbanan, who hold that Mi Yom HaRishon means after Yom HaRishon. I'm going according to Rebbe. Yom HaRishon, V'Rishon Bichlal. Ad Yom HaShvi'i, Shvi'i V'Shvi'i Bichlal. Here too, Mi Shnat HaYovel, the way I am understanding it, it's Shnat HaYovel Bichlal. Well, now, if you hold the Rebbe, so then where do you get a Punyon? Punyon Maya Vidate. V'chitema, maybe Rebbe doesn't hold of a punyon, because you have all full 50 years. V'atani gdish taim v'shalash shalom f'nei ha-yovel. Rebbe omer omer nilotein sel of a punyon. And that's because Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda. The omer shnat chamishim, alo lakan and lakan. So there's really only 49 years in the yovel. So what? So according to Shmuel, the holds, we don't include the year of the yovel. So then Rebbe can't hold that. He can only hold the Rabbonin. Because if he held the Rebbe Yehuda, then it would be a sela plus two pundyonot, because it's only 48 years to split the 50 shekel into. You're right. Al korcha l'shmo, Rebbe has told the Rabbana. Toshma. V'lo go'alim achar ha'yovel, pachot mishanana. What does that mean? So, according to Shmo, it makes sense. Lo go'alim li'achar ha'yovel, meaning the year after Yovel, pachot mishana. But according to Rav, what do you mean? Achar ha'yovel shana. According to Rav, the Yovel itself is included. So then, what's the problem? No, it doesn't. It means Achar Yovel, means my Achar Yovel, meaning any time in the middle of Yovel, you only look at 1 year, a whole year, that's all that it means. So I understand, that's just another way of saying, it says that the Farish in the Mishnah, you can't say it any more clearly, right? Now, that's an explanation. Matam Koma. Why does the Mishnah begin with the words Lo Galim Le'Akra Yovel Pachot Mishana? Mishum De'en Mechashvim Chodashim Yimayekdash. En Mechashvim Chodashim, where do we know that from? Minayin She'en Mechashvim Chodashim Yimayekdash Tamad Lomar. V'chishav Lo Akra Yovel Pachot Mishana V'chishav Hanotarot. Meaning, only take into consideration whole years and not fractions. Ziyata Mechashvim Chodashim. Minayin for the benefit of Hegdish, that Oset, and what would be a case where it's the benefit? Could go into Akashib, a Paga Daboy Matmani, Tamaloma Vichy Shavlo Akohain. If that's what the Kohen wants to do, that's what he does.